Confirmation day. When my daughters were sitting around and I talked to them and they were curious as to what text I was going to preach on, I said, I think today is a good day to preach on the Tower of Babel. And I got the most strange looks from them. But the Tower of Babel is directly connected to Pentecost. It really is. We think back at the Tower of Babel and we think it's a day when the Lord came and was angry, and he dispersed people. But it was actually, if you think about it, the exact opposite of what happened on the day of Pentecost when the Lord came and made everyone speak a language so that his word could be proclaimed in all languages to all that were in the area at that time. I think the two are connected. Give me an opportunity to preach on the Tower of Babel today, and you can tell me afterwards during Sunday school if you think I got it right or if I was off the mark. The whole point of the Tower of Babel is that God has a plan. He has a focus. And one of those focuses for His children is that we will be united in one voice in spreading His word throughout all the world. When Adam and Eve were created, God blessed them. He blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. And typically that's about all you hear when people quote the be fruitful and multiply part. But there's one more part to that sentence. Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. The earth is yours. Go out and fill it. Take the name of God out with you as you procreate and you move out from this central part. You're not, at this time they're in the garden, but come on, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Well, that didn't last very long. By the eighth chapter, God brings a flood on the world. And except for one family, Noah, the entire population is wiped out. They were terrible. They were doing what they wanted to do, and not what the Lord had commanded them to do. As Noah and his family got off the ark, God blessed them. Guess what he told them? Be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth. Don't stay in this little area. I have saved a remnant. Now get out there. Spread who you are on this planet that I gave you, and worship me. That's a part of the covenant. By the time chapter 11 in Genesis comes along, we already see that mankind is going back to the old, evil, sinful ways. As a matter of fact, in our text today, there is a direct sentence here that speaks against the blessing that they've received. Mankind said, "Let us build a city for ourselves so we will not be scattered." In direct opposition to God's commandment to be fruitful, to multiply, and to fill the earth. It amazes me how many times as we read through the Bible, especially in our Bible study, we see how many times we're blessed. God has blessed us. He has done something that is good for us. His word tells us, don't do these things. They're not good for you. And that's a blessing. But He has also told us certain things we should do. And those are blessings. He blessed the Sabbath. Take a day, one day out of seven, and give it to me. Rest from your labors, focus on me, and you will be blessed. He gave us the sanctity of marriage, man and woman. You will be blessed. All the way through to the New Testament, during the Beatitudes, Jesus is telling people they will be blessed. Blessed are those who mourn. They will be comforted. At this time when we've had several dear friends pass away, we need to remember this. You will be comforted. Blessed are the hungry who thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Do you desire to know God more? You will be blessed. You will be filled. and blessed for those who are persecuted. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Even though people come and they try to, maybe not so much in America here, but in other countries, people gather to praise God. They gather to study His Word and they are persecuted. People bust down the doors and they harm them. They jail them. They beat them. These people are blessed. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Bless you. It fits right in. So as we hear of God's blessings, don't turn your back on them, as the people we are reading about today are doing. He says, fill the earth. They decide to build a city so they would not have to be scattered. And these evil desires come out even more, not so much that they desired not to be scattered as they were commanded to, but they desired to build a large tower to the heavens and make a name for ourselves. Boy, and you thought just the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s were filled with greed and pride. Nope, it's been there since the garden. Nothing new under the sun. They decided to build this city. They made clay bricks. Not even using stone, they started to make their own bricks. We're going to build a tower to the heavens. I don't think things have changed much today. We still have people building towers. Who can build the tallest tower? Who has the highest building? It's been going on for centuries, hasn't it? Eiffel Tower, Sears Tower. There's a new tower in the Mideast. The towers over everything. Because people want to make a name for themselves. And people will pay millions and millions of dollars to get their name stuck on those buildings. The higher the building, the more they will pay to put their name on those buildings. Why? Because they want to make a name for themselves. And yet there are people in this world who literally for a dollar a day could be fed and go to bed with a full belly. But we'd rather spend tens of millions of dollars to put a name on a building just so we can make a name for ourselves. Our efforts in everything we do should be focused on glorifying God. Luther was big on this point, glorifying God. It's our vocation. Not everyone is called to be a pastor. Not everyone is called to be a teacher. Katie, you wouldn't want me to be a teacher. Although my kids come home and say, Dad, I wish you were our teacher. If kids would pay more attention and behave. I don't know. I don't think that's the case. I think my head would explode. Some people have God's calling to be a teacher. Or work on automobiles. Another thing you don't want. Don't ever bring your car over and say, Dennis, my car isn't working. Could you take a look at it? Because I would look at it and say, yep, it's still not working. Take it to somebody who knows what they're doing. It's not my calling in life. But those are God-given talents. And every one of those talents that we have, that the Lord has blessed us with, we should do everything to glorify God. Do your best work at what you do, at what your gift and your calling is in life. Put your heart into it. And when people say, wow, you really do good work, you say, I do good work because I want to glorify my Lord. He gave me this gift and I don't want to waste it. There's a part of the story today in the Tower of Babel that you might not pick up on. There's some sarcasm being thrown in. And I love this. We've talked about it in Sunday school. But, you know, the Bible does have a little bit of comedy. The Lord does have a sense of humor. The men wanted to make a building and a tower to make a name for themselves. And so they wouldn't be scattered across the earth. They worked hard and feverishly on building this tower. It was a big tower, a very tall tower that was going to reach the heavens. And the sentence right after that said, so the Lord came down to see the city and the tower they were building. In other words, this beautiful monster of a tower they were building, speaking in human terms, not God terms, God was up in the heavens. And he said, I can't see it. I'm unable to focus my eyes on this giant tower that they're building to the heavens. Let me go down and see what they're working on. In God's mind, it obviously wasn't that big of a tower. It continues, though, because we have a God who can do anything. He can move mountains. He can take a dead man and raise him from the dead. And the sentence continues on here from the text. If as one people speaking the same language, they've begun to do this, make this monster of a tower that I can't even see from my throne, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. This is written in a very sarcastic manner. This is God speaking. Surely if they continue to speak the same language, they'll be able to do anything they want. God's will is they will be scattered. Man said, I don't see it that way. I'm going to stay right here. God said, good. You won't be able to speak to each other. You will understand nothing that the person next to you says. Guess what the people did? They scattered. They couldn't speak to each other, and the tower stopped. The building on the tower stopped. It was over. I was reading Luther's works last night, and in his commentary on Jonah, he has a very, for whatever reason, it just struck me, but Luther has a quote in the commentary on Jonah. He said, God's will be done, whether man wants to agree with it and go along with it or be drug to make it happen. Right now, the people in Babel are being drugged to be are being dragged out across the earth because they can't understand each other. They're being scattered whether they want to or not. I think this is really pertinent for today. We've talked a lot downstairs about things going on in the world. Some people don't like some of the new mandates that are happening from government. I'm not here to preach on government. Some people don't like some of the things that are happening in the secular world with what's on television, with what's on radio. I'm not here to preach on that either. What I am here to say is that we have a God who is so powerful that He can change people's ability to comprehend each other. He is in charge. His will be done. There is nothing that mankind can do when they disobey and they decide to do something in opposition to the will and blessings of God and Jesus Christ. Yes, we are called to stand up for what we believe in. We are called to be in Elwood City when people are trying to get nativity scenes thrown out of the courthouse. We are called to stand up and say, this is a celebration of my Lord. But don't fret. Don't worry about it. We are called to call up our newspapers or our television and cable companies and say, this stuff is garbage that you have on. It's directly an offense to what the Bible teaches. But don't worry when they say, I'm going to put it on anyways. The Lord will have His way. There's nothing that can stop Him. Just as these people, as hard as they really wanted to try building this tower, were forced to cease their labor because they couldn't understand each other. He wants those that love Him to pray. That's probably our most powerful weapon. Pray. Pray and get out and tell people what you believe in. I tie together Babel and the day of Pentecost because that is what we are expected as Christians to do. Pray and get out and tell the people what we believe. The Great Commission, when our Lord Jesus Christ was taken up into heavens, He told them, go out, teach them all I've commanded you, and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This is our calling. We're not called to be stationary. We're called to get out. This is our one day a week we gather together and worship the Lord. But the other 6 days, get out and tell people. This is what I believe. Lighthouse, in the last year, has done more evangelism, in my opinion only, has done more evangelism than any place I've been associated with. And we have our evangelism head that is sitting here today thinking we haven't done enough. We've had Oktoberfest. We've sang songs in the middle of Shop and Save. Can you think of the last time you've gone into the middle of a supermarket and sang Christmas carols? It's first for me. We were there for quite some time singing about the joy of the coming Messiah. We have VBS. There's flyers everywhere. People here have taken the flyers to work. We've given them to the daycare centers and the preschools in the area, telling them, send your kids here. And we're not ashamed of it, because we say, you know what we're going to do when you send them here? We're going to teach them about Jesus Christ. That is evangelism. We do phenomenal things here, and we got to keep doing it for another year. And then you'll get another sermon on it next year at Pentecost. But no, seriously, this place has done a lot of wonderful things concerning evangelism, and we need to keep it up. That's our calling. And we have two very special people today that are joining in. They're going to confirm their faith, the faith that my wife and I promised we would raise them up in when they were baptized. And today they're going to stand as adults, and they're going to confess that faith and confirm it. So I see the Tower of Babel being linked to the day of Pentecost. This is what the Lord wants. Get out. Tell people about Christ. And in all you do, glorify God. And you will be blessed. Amen.